It's my honor to introduce to you someone who has ignited and impacted millions and millions of women, opened up possibilities for all of us, Dr. Jean Houston. She's a scholar, she's an author, she's a researcher in human capacities. She's one of the principal founders of the Human Potential Movement that has influenced and impacted all of us. Jean has collaborated with some of the most influential minds of the last 100 years, Buckminster Fuller, Margaret Mead, Jimmy Carter, Aldous Huxley, Joseph Campbell, and Bill Clinton. Dr. Deepak Chopra calls her the most important person alive when it comes to human and social potential. The perspective that she has on the future of our human potential is vast and extraordinary. And of all of these extraordinary achievements, I would say the greatest superpower that Jean has is this power to ignite and empower others, the power to open up opportunities, to mirror and amplify potentials, to create the space and deep contexts. There's no one else I would rather be speaking about than Jean on this topic about why empowering women is so key to our time and how we can do it. Welcome, Jean.
I have seen all over the world the rising tide of women bringing the sheer fullness, juiciness, belief, and power to the changing of the time. And what you are really presenting with now, dear friend, is perhaps the most sophisticated, brilliant, and deepest ways and training that can bring women forward to the great task that is theirs at this time.
Why women? Why are women the ones at this time who can catalyze higher human flourishing? We have a sense that there's a possible future. We know that we are in dire straits on so many different levels in our world. Sometimes it's challenging for those of us who want to help and serve to remain optimistic in the face of extraordinary challenges. What do you see about women and where women are poised to be the creators of the future?
Well, I think there is one answer, actually, of all the answers we could give. The main one is women have a power, an incredible power that has never really been brought up front, but nowadays it's the power of regeneration. When you look at the history of women over thousands of years, they were the ones who carried on when the men were killed, or when the wars were, or when people were losing hope. It was women that said, all right, it's a difficult time, but we've got to carry on. I have to feed the children. I've got to get the guys with all their wounds fixed up. And above all, I have to be assured that life goes on. Regeneration. And they were theirs. They're correcting the evils of the time, the societies. They were there training the children. They were there being assured in both a physical, a psychological, and a spiritual way of the need to carry on and to find new ways of being and doing that allows us to carry on and grow, and above all, for our time to evolve. This is an evolutionary time. This is what I sometimes call jump time, you know. We are jumping to new ways of being. We are jumping to a new orders of society. We are jumping, I do believe, in spite of all the negatives, to a planetary civilization. Women are the ones who evoke, empower, inspire, and above all, make this happen. Evolution, continuity, life itself is dependent on the power, the intelligence, and the stick-to-itness of women.
You wrote a book years ago called The Possible Human, which was speaking about a higher order of capacities when activated, when unleashed, right? So you're speaking about the superpower that women have to be a force for coherence in the face of fragmentation. And this is so needed to recreate and reinvent every domain of human society and culture, from business to entrepreneurship, to corporations, to healthcare, to politics, to addressing environmental issues, to social justice issues. You know, women have the potential to be at the forefront and be the spaces and create the spaces and create the context for this higher order of recreation and coherence. But this is women who are activated into their possibility. What do women look like as women who are activated and ignited to be this force for coherence in the world? What are the qualities of the ignited or activated woman unleashed?
Well, how many hours do we have? And I'm just thinking, how in the world can I? Okay, I've got an idea. There are four main qualities of the possible woman. The first are the sensory physical ones, to be sentient and picking up from the environment everything that's happening, and then bringing it inside and using the deep imagery, the deep inner imagery that says, this is the present story, how can we improve it? When you activate internal imagery, it then is its own storied form. It gives you ideas, it gives you new plots, it gives you what we call inner senses. And the inner senses open up to past, present, and future and give you then the next level, which is new stories. Women hold the key to the emerging new story. Psychologically, there is a difference of what is happening with women. Psychologically, they know they are not, as I sometimes say, an encapsulated bag of skin dragging around a little strange little ego. No, women hold many, many people within them. And this is because they're the ones who bear the children. So they already have the in their womb, the children coming forth, but you also have the womb of new personalities, new ways of being, new kinds of people. Women are filled with many, many different resources of personhood, both the essential one, both the one that is the great guidance from the cosmos, which I call the entelechy. It's the entelechy of an acorn to be an oak tree. It's the entelechy of a baby to be a grown-up human being. It's the entelechy of you and me, friends, to be much, much, much more than we ever thought we would be. And this entelechy exists, shall I say, as the lure of becoming in the very cosmos itself. And this brings us then to the spiritual level. Women know themselves as cosmic agents, as ones who dwell in a reality that is enclosed in a reality, enclosed in a reality, and ultimately is the great unity, the great oneness itself. Whatever the emerging spirituality will look like, I think it will also be taking things from Christianity, from Judaism, from Buddhism, from Hinduism, but beyond that, from the indigenous deep wisdom of the women who have been the regenerators in the indigenous societies and kept these societies going for hundreds of thousands of years. Women bear the gift of hundreds of thousands of years of doing, being, creating, and letting the world continue when forces around them were trying to make things collapse or fall into warfare.
What do you see holds women back at this time most? What do you see are the blocks to women rising?
Well, I think it's old ways of being. It's being not dreaming the higher dream. You see, this is your genius, my dear friend. Dear, dear Claire, you have helped women to get down into the depths of who and what we are and dream the higher dream. You have your hand on the evolutionary potency that is here and is so deeply needed for humanity to continue at this time. We are at end times of the old orders, and a person like yourself, and there's a few others, but I think you're really, for women, you are the main one. Activate that which is trying to come into time. You are birthers. You lead the birthers, not just for babies, but the birthing of time.
Hmm. Well, and say more about this, the new story, because I'll share this actually. Let me just get this. This is really, if I can just kind of just press pause here, because I'd love to go into this topic a little bit deeper. I think this is a really powerful research. I just want to ask you more questions. Let me see here. All right, so let me jump in and share a bit more context. Jean, I'd love to hear you speak more about the barriers or the things that are holding women back from rising and stepping forward, because we have unprecedented access to information. We have unprecedented access to opportunity. Women are rising in all of these very significant ways. We are accessing, holding the reins of economic power. We're the primary breadwinners in the United States. We're graduating at higher numbers in college. We have, you know, so much more freedom than we did 60 years ago. We are launching businesses at the higher rates than men. Women in leadership positions are creating success by every measure. And yet at the same time, 20% of women are on antidepressants, and that doesn't count the 8 out of 10 who feel deep and chronic anxiety. 5%, you know, the relationship we have with our bodies and food is epidemic in our society and culture. A lot of us are living alone and are very isolated. We're experiencing a lot of financial success, and even though women are breaking through and they're stepping out, and we have all of this opportunity, and there's a tremendous sense of the potential of women to rise, and yet women are shown to be less happy, less healthy, more lonely than ever in so many measures. So there's this power paradox that I've identified, I speak about, and I would love to see what you see as, you know, what is that needs to be unleashed so this force of regeneration, of recreation, can be unleashed upon the world?
Well, if we had 10 or 20 hours, we could. You know, there's an old saying, things are as they are because they were as they were. And that assures a certain continuity, but also a sense of deep depression. Mm-hmm. And I think that too many women both see themselves and are seen as just the ones that you can trust to stay in this certain kind of cage of being usual, continuing an old paradigm, continuing an old way of being. You see. And the truth is that those who stay caught in the cage of the old ways, even though they may be heads of companies, even though they may be doing remarkable things, they still feel themselves within the age-old cage of things are as they are because they were as they were. And men, unfortunately, often hold them to it. And then there come along the brave and the brilliant women like yourself who say, the old spell is broken. That isn't true anymore, because if things are as they are because they were as they were, we would have the ending of the planet within about 200 or 300 years at least being able to support human life. And that's very clear. We are in the state of grow or die, change or perish. Evolve or forget about it. And I think women who are the ones who continue the continuity when everything else is crashing around them, as this has been for tens of thousands of years, know this. This is why your courses are so enormously successful, because you are the ones who say, women, you are the pioneers, the prophets, the potentiators of this new emerging time. And no old formulas or old fashioned ways of being are going to serve. Women are opening up the doors of the future, the doors of a world that can work for everyone. No old formulas or old ways of being are going to work. And I think that part of the frustration of women is that then at some level they know this, and yet every day looks like every day, looks like every day, looks like every day, and doesn't look like it's going to shift. My dear friend, dear Claire, you are the shifter supreme. You are one who not just opens the doors, but you say, this is what it looks like. If women come to the potential that is evolutionary, a lot of women are unhappy because they feel the thunder in their hearts, of this new world, this new ways of being, without which we're all out of here within 1,000 years or so. These are ending times, as I said, they're the beginning times. So what is it? You see, and this is my question to you. What is it? What are the felicities and the facilities that allow women to grow that are coming from the fact that we are in not just renewal times as in the Renaissance, we are in the Rinascita, the rebirth times, we are in radically new times, or forget about it. Mm-hmm. Never before has the either or of history, either we grow or we die, been more in our faces. So I feel that part of this frustration is not just the frustration of the way the world, the anger, the rage, the lostness, the looking for a newfoundness. I don't think it is just about that. And this is something that when we work together, we look at. It's really about what we're feeling is the charge of an evolutionary time in which women are the, as I said, the parents and the pioneers. And it is a time in which we discover profoundly new ways of acting, being, directing, glowing, governing, evoking, regenerating. These are the times, and we are the women.
Stepping into that new story of ourselves as the creators of the future of our world, not just the creators of the next generation of physical humans, but we are the stepping into that role of seeing that, you know, the world is not just how it is, but the world is fluid and evolving and needs us to step forth and create it.
Yes.
And we are being called to step forth as the creators of the future and expand our identity, expand our capacities, expand our ways of knowing, expand how we're sourcing and generating power to be able to create those contexts one-on-one, one-on-many, in which these higher orders of possibility can be activated and can be ignited. Jean, what do you see would become possible for the world 30 years from now if women were to step up into this new identity and step up and activate these deeper capacities to become fully activated change makers, presences on the planet who can hold a space for higher human potential? What would become possible if women en masse, say 1 million women on the planet, were to become activated in this way?
Primarily, it would be the end of ending times. We would not be dying on this earth. I think the soil would be regenerated. The waters would be purified. I think that schools and education would be, oh goodness, it would look very different. The emphasis would be on touching things, on tasting things, on moving with things. Children would have the exercise of their entire genius, and children are geniuses. School would be the place in which the children and thus life on this earth would be empowered. That's just for school. Name almost any way, institute, and you find that they are still dragged down by the old ways, some hundreds and some thousands of years that no longer work. Women would be creating the ways in which the world at micro and macro levels would be able to work. I mean, that's the big thing. And women, I think, would come to be not just honored, but looked for. Please, you have inside of you, you're so bright. You have some answers. I trust you. Women would be trusted to come forth from the genius, from the new times, and the new times, the future times, they are coming to us. I wrote a book recently with my co-partner, Anne Louise Smitsman, about future humans and future humans changing the earth. Well, the women are the future humans. Mm. And they're here in our midst, and they're ready to go. They just, in some sense, have not been, I could say, deeply seen, but it's more than that, sacralized, sanctified, being told of their enormous gifts and the enormous need of our time, if we're going to have any future time at all, to be called forth and to live the enriched life that is fertile within them, that is getting ready now to come forth. And my dear friend, dear Claire, this is what you do. You know, you are the midwife of women's souls. You are the midwife of women's souls. I will say this again. You're the midwife of women's souls and bodies and minds and the quickening of their spirit so that they may come and, in the great words of the poet, redeem in the time. Redeem the unread vision of the higher dream.
There's not a woman that I've met who doesn't struggle with self-doubt, who doesn't feel like she doesn't yet know enough, or she isn't ready, or, you know, let me try to come at this question another way. One of the things that I've found in my own work is that women's sense of possibility or opportunity of what they can really do and achieve is really limited. What would you say to women to open up, to have them be related to the real impact and difference they can make with their life energy, of what's really possible for them in their lifetime to contribute?
I think it is re-mythologizing the role and presence of women for our time and not for a previous time. It's rethinking that role. And it is a new story. It's a new mythos. A myth is something that never was, but is always happening. It's the coded DNA of the human psyche. It is the great story that lures us forward. My old great friend, Joseph Campbell, wrote a book about the hero with 1,000 faces. And I said, what about the heroine? And he would insist that that story didn't yet exist. Well, maybe it didn't then. I said, but you've got to write it. He said, no, Jean, you've got to write it. And I thought, well, it just isn't me. It's people like my dear friend Claire Zammit and all of our pals collector who are writing the new story. We have to put the new story into time. We have to give it hands and feet and heart and the viscera that allows us to be so connected in all our parts that we know that we're part of the new story as we are designing it and creating it. Let people become part of this new design. Let women be part of this. And a lot of their doubts will go hiding out in a closet somewhere, which you lock. You know.
Well, so what you're saying is there's a way that when you start to see yourself in a much bigger context and you step into a new story of who you are, that self doesn't have all of those insecurities, right? That self doesn't have all of that self-doubt because that self is part of something that's so much bigger. That's part of a story that began long before your local self was here that will continue on after your local self is gone.
You see, that's the great news. We're in evolutionary times, what I call jump times. We're jumping from all kinds of old ways of being to absolutely new ways of being. But we haven't been told the story of what this new way is, what it looks like. And this, my dear friend, is what you have been doing for what, 10, 15 years that I know of. When did I meet you? Well over 10 years ago. And you had something of the story even then, as a rather young person, as I recall. And because you had been through it, you had been through the whole process of being unstoried and then finding the ways to restory. I think what you're doing, particularly the most strongest thing, I know the many things you're doing in this new kind of coaching, and is truly to help people discover the new story, both without themselves and within themselves, and then together. Because together, in the togethering of the new story, you have an unbeatable, unquenchable situation, community of those patterned, repatterned to profoundly make the difference at every level of self and society.
Why is one-on-one work really important? Like what can happen? So let me ask you these questions about, so I want to ask you about coaching and about one-on-one work and why that's critical for humanity to rise, that there are these spaces one-on-one to be evoked. And then why we can't do it by ourselves, why human potential is something that we need to be part of learning communities in an ongoing way to develop. So these are the final pieces I want to ask you. So Jean, I'm wondering if you can speak to why work as a coach, or being able to, you know, whether it's as a professional coach or whether it's one-on-one conversations that you're in your organization or in your workplace, you know, having the skillfulness of the coaching skill set where you're creating a container, to have the skillfulness of the woman-centered coaching capacities and frameworks, where you're able to create the spaces, where you're able to evoke and to amplify and ignite people, why that matters. And I'll share my story of meeting you, because you do this. You know, the principles of woman-centered coaching, this is your orientation in how you orient and how you speak. So I'm a woman who is extremely educated and has access to a lot of information and a lot of resources. But like most women, my sense of possibility is limited by my past and my history. And like most women, my sense of awareness of my own talents and my own brilliance and my own skills was not the fullness of the reality of my capacity. This is something, right? Women, our sense of opportunity, our sense of our own capacities, all of this is limited. And so as I was stepping up and stepping out, you know, you were a presence. You created that space for me one-on-one when I came to visit you in Ashland. And it was one of the most impactful conversations of my life where, you know, you didn't just ask me, well, what's your vision, Claire? What do you want to create? You invited me into an incredible space and you reflected back to me a vision of possibility that was bigger than I could see for myself at that time. You know, you reflected back the opportunity that I had to lead women, to be at the forefront of a movement leading women, to ignite, to catalyze so many women across the globe, and you reflected back my unique capacities and my brilliance, and you believed in me. And there was something in that belief and in that reflection and in that amplification that is at the heart of this woman-centered coaching approach that I'm speaking about. And, you know, I want to invite you to share with us why it matters that we develop the ability to do this for women.
This truly is part of women's mysteries, isn't it? One of the most mysterious and potent capacities of being a woman. There's many, many reasons historically why this is so, but to bring it down to the essence of it, women have the ability to see another, whether it's a woman, a man, a child, goodness knows, a doggy, to see beyond the barriers to the essence of who is there. What you are speaking about women-centered coaching, is essence viewing. And in the state of essence viewing, suddenly there is that spark between people. Once you say, you see me, are you? Oh my, and you start to cry. You're right. I thought I had forgotten who I was. Thank you for seeing. Women see beneath the surface, they have to. They see beneath all of the histories, and they see that what the entelechy, the high self, sees. They serve as high self to the other, and thus see the essence, the evolutionary essence who is ready and ready and willing to come forward. And they help that essence to come to its fullness and to be brought forth out of the body, the mind, and the spirit of the other woman. Peer-centered evocation, peer-centered education, evolution, women to women with a high-minded, high-spirited woman as yourself leading the way results in a transformation of 50% of the species of the humans on this earth at this time. And that is why your program is so important, vital, evocative, and of this time of troubles and time of re-enchantment.
In my experience, these higher orders of potential can't be reached or realized without having someone evoke you and be in this kind of container with you. Can you speak to that, what you see about that?
Say that again in different words.
Okay, let me try to say that again in a different way. It's very, you can't evoke yourself. Like we need others to evoke us. Others need us to evoke them. Why is it that this higher order of human potential needs a midwife? And it's not something you can do by yourself.
Well, some people work very, very hard. A lot of people work very hard at trying to evoke themselves. And they do it to a certain point, but their vision is not strong enough. They might be, I want to make $1 million. I want to find the great lover. I want it. I want that. I want this. It's the I want, which then causes them to shrivel inside of the greater story that really wants to come through. Not that there's anything wrong with those other stories, but women are in the midst of the great story of the renewal of the paradigm of what it is to be woman has never happened before, because we're at an evolutionary turning. And if it doesn't happen, we're out of here in 1,000 years, maybe even sooner. This is woman's time. This is the time of women's growth, becoming, being seen, evolving, and creating a different world. Like if we don't create it, then it's bad times for all. Women to women have the capacity for the deep seeing. I think what you teach, above all the brilliance that you have and all of the meta technologies of transformation that you have, is you have the ability to see the other so deeply. I was in a very rich conversation with you a couple of days ago about business. and I was stunned at the musical orchestration. You were like a Bach, a Johann Sebastian Bach of psychology, the different levels that you were able to see and put together. It was pure genius, and this is who you are. But you're also able to teach women how to do this, how to be one of the deep seers and the deep evokers who so profoundly makes a difference in the woman's life, in the woman's ways of being, in the woman's reappreciation of herself to the point that she will work in very positive ways for that for which she yearns to bring into time.
The work that we do one-on-one with people is so important. But final question here, just why is it, why do we also need to be part of a learning community? Why is one-on-one work alone not enough to unleash us? Why do we need to be part of a transformational learning community and in a learning culture together?
Because you need the great variety of persons. You need the variety of their stories, of their yearnings, of their where they have lost. And from all this, you have the gathering foundness of the whole. We are not just insulated bags of skin, you know, carrying around a dreary ego. We are organism environment. We are part of the organism of the larger environment. We are not alone. And in the muchness comes the suchness of who and what we are. Thus, you absolutely require the community of co-creative souls who together work out of the complexity of what together they bring to evoke the possible woman, creates the possible world. What do you see as the possible woman, really possible for this world and time, especially if they go through this incredible training that you're offering? What do you wish for them if you don't yet see it? Maybe you see it. What do you wish or see?
What I see for women coming into their power is that they are expressions of a new form of power, a power that gives life, a power that ignites and lifts everyone else up. You know, when we kind of see traditional images of a powerful person, they're separate, they're alone. When you see a truly empowered woman inside of this new story, she is flowing and generating an extraordinary field of relatedness, of amplification, of power, of possibility that calls forth the greatness in everyone around her, who, you know, that she is a force of coherence, of activation. She's able to create the contexts and the spaces and the projects that bring people together in higher order collaborations to be consciously bringing forth the unrealized human potentials into the manifest world. This is really what our new role on planet Earth at this higher order we are being called forth to step into.
What you're describing is someone who has the vision, is the visionary of the whole, but also has the practical genius of making it happen, part by part, piece by piece, heart by heart, together. And that is who you are, Claire.
And that's who I believe we can all become and step into. Thank you so much for joining us, Jean. So much love.